Welcome to Mike's Camera Action, where this week we drink to live and live to drink, as aliens that can't handle their liquor come after our alcohol-poisoned blood. As always, I'm your host, Kyle Pontisso, and I am joined by my... Well, actually, my co-host isn't here, but we're joined once again by Lizzie.
Hello.
So, Lizzie, we watched this week a... It's a movie called Grabbers, and I feel like the name doesn't quite get across what this movie is.
Yeah, no. When I think of grabbers, I think of like a baby snatcher.
Yeah, like when I hear grabbers, I'm thinking like nothing to do with alien vampires that suck blood and are allergic to alcohol.
And look like a freaking tumbleweed of tentacles.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, exactly.
Basically a scary Pokemon.
Yeah, so I think just first off, the name is a little bit not doing it justice. I came up with like three names. If you took the concept... And then just, like, it doesn't have to be specifically this movie, but just the idea of drink or die. And that's pretty much it. Drink or die, drink till you die, and Alcapocalypse were all I could come up with.
Alcapocalypse is
pretty good. Alcapocalypse is my favorite.
Yeah. Well, when I Googled grabbers, the first thing that came up were those little grabbers that you used to, like, pick up trash.
Oh, like the little hand, like the little claws.
That was the first hit, and then it was the movie.
And then, okay, fair enough.
So that's how you know a movie's bad, if a product shows up before the movie.
They're a very popular product, though. Come on.
That's true. They use them
Everyone's
at Disney World all the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I worked there.
There you go. A little bit of trivia for you.
All the managers carry grabbers, everyone.
Really? At all times?
Or yeah, all the managers pocket? Do. No, they just carry them around. So they carry them around, and we have to do the Disney pickup. So it's basically walk, pick up, go. There's no stopping. There's no taking your sweet-ass time. Mickey Mouse don't got time for that shit.
House of the Mouse don't sit around, man. You gotta grab that shit and run.
Grab it and go.
So the writer came up with the idea for this film while backpacking, allegedly. Allegedly.
Not while he watched Shaun of the Dead?
No, conveniently not. Maybe the director did, but... So he wondered if mosquitoes could get drunk from sucking your blood. Like, if I got drunk enough and a mosquito bit me and sucked out a little bit of blood, would that mosquito then get blitzed off its mind? So I wanted to look into that, and what I've been able to find is that apparently mosquitoes have some sort of organ that separates blood from other liquids in the bloodstream, which I think has somehow made mosquitoes even worse for me.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Not only that, you could potentially drink enough to overwhelm a mosquito.
But you'd have to be
But you would
way
have to
over.
Drink enough to the point where you would be dead first.
Yeah, here, so, drink off my dead corpse.
Yeah, because if you think about with, let's say, Lisa blows a .2.
Yeah.
So let's go with a .2 where you're very intoxicated but not dead yet. If you were to take that, that's, I think, if memory serves right, that's your percentage, right? It's a percentage of blood alcohol content, correct?
Sure.
So .2 is 0.2% of your blood is alcohol.
Yeah, and how much do you have to drink before you're, like, dead?
Dead, I don't know the exact amount. But if you look at that from the mosquito's point of view, where you're at a .2, let's say some sort of vampire creature could drink a liter of blood from you. That would mean that at a .2, where you're very intoxicated, it would get 2 milliliters of alcohol.
That's not a lot.
That's 2/1000ths of a liter. If you were to take, I think if you were to take the inverse and give someone a liter of beer and 2 milliliters of blood put into that beer, they wouldn't even notice.
Well, I guess it depends on the kind of person you are, because I do know that Caucasians or Aryan people have a much better tolerance to alcohol than, like, let's say, the indigenous peoples of America. That's why it's pretty common to see a lot of dependent alcoholics for indigenous peoples. And if anyone can fact check me on that and correct me if I'm wrong, because I feel like I've heard this and it's stuck in my head, but I don't know if it's a myth now and I'm second guessing myself. But I guess it just depends on the person's tolerance.
Yeah.
Let's say it that way. It depends on the person's tolerance. And if you're an alien creature who has never been like exposed to alcohol, who only is exposed to blood...
Mm.
Then it wouldn't have the organisms necessary to separate it out.
Keep in mind that a good way to word that would be, let's say you're drinking spirits, which are very high in alcohol content, let's say 40%.
Mm-hmm.
If you're drinking something that's 40%, that's pretty potent. A 0.2, though, that's the percentage of your blood that is alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So try drinking something that's at a 0.2% alcohol, which is less than a light beer.
That's like, yeah, okay.
It's so negligible that no mosquito is going to get drunk.
Well, yeah, they might as well just toss the poaching in his mouth.
Yeah, you would have to be Sam from Sawtell for a mosquito to get any kind of buzz off you.
Exactly. The poaching, by the way, is the name of the homebrew spirit.
Yeah, Paddy's weird homebrew.
I believe that's how you pronounce it, because it's spelled P-O-I with a little accent mark, T-I-N, and it almost looks like potion, but it's pronounced poaching, I think.
It's a potion. Yeah, I believe it's pronounced poaching in the movie.
Yeah, my accent's probably butchering it, as it always
If you aren't
does.
Butchering it, try reading out one of the main characters, the alcoholic cop with the divorced wife for me, on this note in my phone. Try reading that out.
Kieran O'Shea, alcoholic cop with divorced wife.
Wow, you actually said that with some confidence, and I don't know if you're right or not.
I think it's Kieran.
Kieran?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not Syrian?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's because I look up a lot of Irish names in my spare time because I have no good hobbies.
She's an Irishophile, I guess.
Yeah, well, I, the name Siobhan. That's spelled
like Siobhan.
Yeah, Siobhan. Yeah. And the same thing with Nev. There's no V in it. There is no V in Nev. And I remember reading a book where the character's middle name was Nev, and it's spelled N-I-A-H-M. That's Nyam.
What?
I pronounced it Nyam whole time. And then I watched a movie and it said, my name is Nev. And in the subtitles, because I watch subtitles with everything, it's spelled Nyam. Do you realize?
It all kind of clicked.
I was so angry because I am a bibliophile, so I read all the time, and pronunciation is very important to me. Mm. And I've been saying this name wrong this entire time. I read that book 10 years ago.
I feel like that would be the equivalent of I was reading some Terry Pratchett novels recently, and one of the characters I knew was Kizdra. Who has, his name has an exclamation mark inside the wording of it. A lot of the names in these Terry Pratchett novels, The Color of Magic, they aren't spelt in any...
Mr. Tiatimi.
Yeah, exactly. There's no easy way to pronounce it because they're using, not letters inside it. So I was just yes, exclamation mark, pronounced as an I. That seems about right.
So what was it?
That's just all I'm rolling with. I'm going to call it Kizdra, but for all I know, it could be gobbledygook.
So it's like, ketcha!
Ketcha!
Ketcha! I love fantasy novels, but just stop making names harder than they have to be. Drizzt.
What, Drizztowerden?
Yeah, that's
not
the one.
Not an easy one to pronounce.
Well, it's not that it's not easy. It's just how is it pronounced, you know? But,
being someone who enjoys the D&Ds and the running of the adventures... Let me tell you, that's freaking hard as hell. I can't tell you, having to run a setting that includes the same people as Drizztowerden, the drow, holy fuck have I hated that at times.
Just it's name him Bill.
It's
Come
on. Exactly. You look at here is the city of Menzoberranzan, and it's this 16 character long thing, and it's okay.
Here's the city of London.
Yeah. Here's bleh. How is his name spelt? Well, let's just roll with Zolarin. That looks about right.
Let me show you. You pronounce it, and I'll pronounce it the way you do.
Irish is basically Elvish, is what we're saying.
Basically, yeah. Gaelic, Welsh. They're very hard to pronounce. Because my gamer tag is actually, I think, a Welsh word.
Really?
Yeah, it's Or Arth, and that means ice bear, I think.
Huh.
Yeah, so I use it for everything. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Google is assuring me that I am, but who can say? Who can say?
This is because Lizzie's spirit animal is a polar bear, I take it.
Yes, it is.
Ice bear. Nailed it.
Yeah.
See?
Slowly dying. That's what I am.
Slowly?
Well, I guess at a more accelerated pace than the rest of animal kind. depression jokes.
I was also doing a little bit more research on some things we were taking up, things we were questioning during the movie. Garda is just the Irish police force.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool.
It's not like...
Is that
it's not like
Celtic
a special...
for...
I would assume... I think it's just the word for guard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like any specialized branch, as far as I can tell. It's not like the Coast Guard or anything, or military police
cops,
or anything like that. It's just... They're just cops. They're like B cops.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So, yeah. So the main characters are... Ah, it's so... This movie was fun... It was just fun. You have to go in not expecting anything, and then you'll be happy with it.
Go in with pretty low expectations. It's not incredible. It doesn't break the bank in it. Like, it doesn't break the mold in any particular way.
Yeah, so me and Carl were definitely saying it feels more like a B version of Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, it's definitely, there's hints of like, it's pretty low. I can tell it's pretty low budget comparatively.
Well, actually, it's got a $5 million USD budget, which is pretty good for an indie film.
Yeah, for an indie film, it's pretty steep, but it's also like compared to most movies, it's like
I'm sure Shaun of the Dead
pretty low. Shaun of the Dead, they could have done for very little.
Yeah, I'll like, just look that up right now.
The biggest for Shaun of the Dead, most of the pay would have just gone to the actors, I would have bet.
Oh, of course, and that's where I'm thinking a lot of the pay went for this movie because they had some pretty big name actors in there.
Really?
Well, yeah. I'll get their names up because I can't remember. Okay. Oh, I've got it right here. Richard Coyle. He's been in lots of things. He's been in Going Postal, a Terry Pratchett film, and he was also in Prince of Persia. I think he was one of the brothers.
Yeah.
And Russell Tovey. He was in Doctor Who, and he actually was a main character in the show Being Human, and he does lots of things.
Okay.
And I think he's brilliant. Yep. He plays awkward so well, and seeing him drunk off his face was a joy.
Oh, God. We got to come back to that in a sec.
We will. Let me just grab how much it was. No, not Dawn of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead. That's a completely different film.
Yeah.
Well, it's a parody. So the budget for Shaun of the Dead was only $1 million more than Grabbers.
Okay.
Yeah. And to be fair, I feel like a lot of the budget for Shaun of the Dead would have gone to the actors, one. And two, a lot of the makeup. The makeup was fantastic in that film. Yeah. And I feel like for this movie, the animation and prosthetics were actually quite good.
Yeah. The animations for the Grabbers themselves were actually really
pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, it was... It blended in with the environment well. Because you know how sometimes, like with Sharknado, it looks
bad
obviously...
Bad CG is usually you can just...
Very noticeable.
For the most part, like a lot of the time, it's the lighting.
It's the lighting.
You can
it
always
just,
tell it's
It
off.
Looks like a cartoon in a film. It looks like freaking Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But not on purpose.
but not the way it should be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, why don't we talk about Richard Tovey's character?
Sure. So Dr. Adam Smith, the marine ecologist, first off, he's a flirt.
Big flirt. So the main characters is Richard Coyle's character, who is a drunk cop. He's always drinking, alcoholic, very disheveled all the time.
Mm.
And his new partner is a woman. She's very pretty. She's pretty to look
She's
at.
Pretty.
Yeah, she's pretty. And she's... pretty much the exact opposite of him. Wow. Yeah.
Wow,
creative.
They're like partners and they're completely different. And I just want to say, when we first meet...
the fucking odd couple.
When we first meet Alcoholic Cop and he's driving Workaholic Cop around, he should not be driving.
He shouldn't be driving.
Like, we literally see him wake up in the morning, pound off a good hit of a bottle of whiskey, and then get to work.
Yeah. And then I am surprised she didn't smell that on him.
Oh, yeah.
You can smell that. It's just like, are you drunk? Do you want me to drive? Can I drive, please?
Can I please drive for the safety of everyone involved?
Yeah, just tell me where to go. They meet up, and it's not really obvious that they're going to be a romantic interest. Not at first. Until Russell Tovey's character starts flirting with the character Lisa.
Yeah.
And then Richard Coyle's character gets a little bit like, excuse me, this is my lady. And it's just like, where do you get off? She just got here.
Also, at the same time, though, like, do your job. We're investigating, you know, whales dying. Come on.
Yeah.
Stop hitting on the police officer for 5 minutes so that we can, like, do our job and you can do yours for a moment.
Yeah, and that's another thing that bothered me is that this girl, she had very little character development. The only reason why she came to this island, and we briefly touch on that when she's drunk, is that she was trying to get out of the shadow of her older sister that her parents favor more. That's it. The rest of the time, she's pretty much used as a plot device to make the alcoholic cop a better person.
That said... I'll give her credit, though. Pretty good with a nail gun.
She's pretty good with a nail gun. She is useful.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. She's useful. She's driving. She's fighting. However, I just feel like she's just like a Manic Pixie Dream Girl 2.0. Except that her Manic Pixie is just being OCD and clean.
Fair.
Like she is, I wouldn't say OCD, but very type A personality.
Mm.
And it was really kind of cringy to watch. Just like... I'm going to put you in the cell because you're drunk and stuff. And he's like, you arrested me? And she's like, nah, I just couldn't find your home. And it's just like, bitch, you would have arrested him. We all know this.
She should have arrested him.
She should have.
That's just pretty...
And like Shaun of the... And no, Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Just like in Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I gotta rewatch that sometime soon.
Yeah, see,
it's just made
the...
me want to watch like Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead.
Makes me
want to
watch the Canetto trilogy.
Exactly.
There are so many elements in this film that were just very close to the Cornetto trilogy.
A little bit.
Didn't quite hit the mark for me.
No, just, yeah, that's the thing. It's got like, it kind of wants to be that, but it doesn't have the same kind of quality as that. Like, it doesn't have the same editing styles or the same
The depth of character. There's so much more depth in character. Like, you can see that they're trying to. You can see that with Richard Coyle's partner or wife, well, the bartender in the beginning says that he's widowed, and it's just like, nah, she just left me. And it's just like, well, what is it? Because one would affect you more than the other, surely. And it's just that lends us to believe that maybe she doesn't exist if it's already starting off on a lie, you know?
I think it's more, I think he's telling the truth later on, and the widowed is just kind of like...
Oh, do you think that maybe he told everyone that she died?
Oh.
Like in Happy Gilmore, you know? Oh, is that the one? Yeah. When they're like, oh, where's your girlfriend? She's dead.
She's dead.
She got hit by a car.
That'd be interesting, especially since they're on a tiny island, so she would have had to leave.
Exactly. So, yeah, she's dead. Well, why wasn't I invited to the funeral? Because it was so horrible. Funeral, okay, don't ask me any questions.
We couldn't have open casket. It was a burial at sea. It was this whole ordeal. You wouldn't want to be there. Viking funeral.
Oh, my gosh. That being said, the set was absolutely gorgeous.
Mm.
So that's set on Aran Island, and I'm not sure if that's the actual island's name, but it's gorgeous. It seemed very remote. It seemed like there was a lot of wilderness, but my God, let's go.
Oh.
It was gorgeous. Lots of rain, which I like, lots of rolling cliffs and hills and the ocean, all the things I love. So
there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Lizzie will be moving out to see our fans in Aran. Is it Aran Island?
Aran
Island in Ireland.
Yeah, I will brave face sucking aliens for like a little bit of idyllic beauty.
Which, speaking of braving face sucking aliens, they really thought they were going to get a sequel out of this, didn't they?
Oh, they really did.
They wanted it. They wanted it so bad.
They wanted it so bad. So the end cut of the scene, like they fought all the aliens, they killed Daddy, and everything was going all right, and then it just kind of cuts to the scene and you're like, oh, the ocean, so pretty, and then all of a sudden, boom, there's eggs left. You didn't get them all, and bless their souls, they didn't even come close to making back their budget.
Oh, it's so unfortunate. It's the opening
so
weekend
upsetting.
Was really not good for them.
Yeah, so they ended up making less than $500,000 for the entire time.
Ugh.
The entire time. Their budget was about $5 million USD, and they didn't even make $500,000.
God damn, that's gotta hurt.
Aw, they definitely took a loss on this.
It's still, I think, like, per as far as, like, money lost for a studio, not as much as Stealth.
Oh?
No, Stealth is, like, as far as money invested to money not made back, it was. I think Stealth still is, like, one of the biggest losses for a studio. Like, it almost bankrupted the company working on it.
Did it?
Yeah.
How much was the...
I'll have to look it up later. I'll have to get... Don't worry about it now. I'll bring it up after the show. We talked about this on our episode when we did Stealth like last season. So yeah, watch back to that episode, ladies and gentlemen. There was a whole rant about a possibility in Aeronautics.
No, put it on Spotify so I can listen to it while I walk to uni.
We're working on it. And ladies and gentlemen of the audience, if you have like any kind of platform you listen to podcasts on, please do not hesitate to recommend them or send them to me on our Facebook page or whatever. Please. We want to bring it to every platform we can.
Yeah, just accessibility is key.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm currently working on iTunes. Don't hold me to that, but I'm trying to get up there and in full.
Fingers crossed.
We're talking about Adam Smith, the marine ecologist, and we've gone off on a bit of a tangent.
We've gone off on like seven different tangents.
that's Mike's camera action for
That's how we roll.
That's just how this show goes.
Da-da-da.
So there's this great... I actually really enjoyed this scene to an extent where they're finally having like, okay, it's going to rain. So the aliens have to live in, like, need water to survive. They need water and blood.
They can be beat within an inch of their life, but if they have some water on them, they're good.
Yeah, water regenerates them. So there's a huge storm coming in. So they can't be on dry land. But then Patty has the line like, oh, but if it's raining, nowhere's dry land.
Bum, bum.
So there's this huge storm coming, so they say, okay, we need everyone to be drunk off their minds because the aliens are allergic to alcohol. So if you drink enough, if you're drunk off your mind, then when they suck your blood, they die of their allergies. Like, they'll just start hacking up blood and die. Mm. They gather up the whole town, which are all in church for some reason.
Yeah, they're all in church. Well, everyone's Catholics.
Yeah, exactly. But everyone goes to church, so it's a good Catholic town up here in Arran Island.
And they're like, what's this for? What's going on? Why is this happening? And he's floundering, trying to find excuses for why it's happening. And then he says...
Wait, which one's this?
This is Richard Coyle's character.
Oh, God, I remember what Richard Coyle
said. He said, it's a free bar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So even before that, like, they're trying to get everyone into this pub, and Lisa's sitting there, and she's blown a point two, and they've kept feeding her drinks because she's got to be drunk, and they're using her as the baseline. And so she has a line, and they're trying, like, everyone's trying to be like, well, why are you trying to get us into the pub? What's the deal? And she's just sitting there like, it's a going away party. It's a welcome party. And they're like, you only just got here. You're leaving soon anyway.
Yeah, you only just got here. But you're not leaving yet.
Like, it's so ridiculous.
And it wasn't until they said free bar. And then some rando lady's like, free bar?
Free bar?
And then and they're fucking off to the bar. It was brilliant.
And credit for, like, this is very, like, some of the accents in this are really great. You've just got that beautiful, like, gobshite fecker.
Oh, and what else did they say?
You wrote down some great insults on this one.
Oh, I think I just wrote feckin' gobshite.
Oh, just feckin' Oh, come on.
There's so much more, but I was just enjoying it.
They did get a good C word out in this one.
Oh, yeah, of course they did.
But anyway, people are going back to this pub, and I love that scene, kind of, where they're all in the pub, and you've just got, like, the bartender pouring out two pints and then just filling them with vodka.
Yeah.
Just like, all right, we need to make everyone blitzed. Here you go. There's the old lady who has that line, like, I'm pissed.
I'm pissed.
I'm pissed.
Oh, there was a moment, too, when he's like, hey, how's your heart? And she's like, oh, I'm fine. Two shandies, please. And you're just like, she's going to die. Not from aliens, because she can't handle her fucking drinks.
So many people, I would expect so many of these people to be dead from alcohol poisoning doing what they were doing.
Oh, but they're Irish.
Yeah. Got that Irish constitution.
See, it all depends on how much you can drink.
But you've got the marine ecologist in the basement.
Oh, yeah, getting pissed off the...
Which he's found his way to the, what's it, poaching?
The poaching, yeah.
To the poaching, and he's just annihilated.
He's walking around, and it's just like, my God, you need some water.
Your floor is broken he falls onto the ground and crawls.
Oh, he needs some milk.
He needs some milk. Like, he's dead, functionally useless. And then he's the one who stumbles outside to where the other grabber is.
Yeah, and the craziest thing, though, is that... So this all happens within a span of a day.
Mm.
And I don't... My question is why was the male so much bigger than the female?
Maybe that's just a species, perhaps.
But it was so much bigger. It was more than 10 times bigger, I'm sure. Mm.
I'm not really sure.
And that was the thing. And also, it was much smarter than her, too. Because, it didn't even taste him. It smelt. It used his weird little feelers, felt him. And he's like, see, I'm too inebriated to be eaten. And then he just flicks him away. He doesn't ignore him. He flicks him to his death.
That was so bad.
It was like a doll flying in the air, but you didn't get the satisfaction of, like, the splat. You're just like, well, did he fall in the water maybe? Maybe he lived.
That ran against, like, everything that I would that me, having done some screenwriting, that runs against all my instincts, where it's like, you've got a guy who you've shown several scenes of him getting blitzed off his mind in the basement. You've set up that, blood is poison if it's tainted with alcohol
to
these
aliens. He's the science
guy. This guy is so drunk that he's no longer capable of walk or coherent thought.
Not at all.
He's stumbled outside to the giant alien, and I'm sitting there going, okay, this is how they beat it. You feed them the marine ecologist.
Yeah.
It eats him, and then it's like, it's eaten so much tainted blood, it's dead. It's functionally dead. And it just flicks him away. And we don't even see him die. We just see a nice shot of the night sky as he tumbles through the air. And then no landing, no splat, nothing.
No, nothing. Just unsatisfactory. And it's just like, the thing that pisses me off the most is that they're just like, we have to get intoxicated. Instead of just like, why don't you put it in alcohol? And like, one of the characters made that a point.
They did specify that it needs to be ingested.
Yeah, it needs to be ingested. open its fucking mouth, because they threw the bottle of poaching at the end into its mouth and then exploded.
In all fairness, that was when they did have it pinned.
Yeah, it was pinned.
So try, like,
this is an indestructible character,
but they've seen like this 20-foot like wide monstrosity of tentacles and a beak.
Just it wasn't a beak.
Well,
like
more
a,
like a strange
like a weed whacker.
Yeah, more like some sort of maw. But you've seen this giant monster come after you, and it's like you're not. Like, at that point, you've got no plan to come up. Like, you've got no plan other than starve it to death. Like, I'm not sitting being like, they're not sitting there thinking, like, okay, we trap it here, and then we, like, do, and then we, like, just pump it full of booze. They're like, no, we get drunk so it doesn't want to kill us.
Yeah.
And then hope it dies of starvation. That's what they were going with.
Also, my thing is, so I'm just going to go with, like, the logic of this creature. This creature has made itself seem very smart. Right? And the fact that it flicks the guy away, doesn't even taste him.
Nope.
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah. Everyone agrees?
Yep.
In the beginning, the very beginning, they eat the humans in the very beginning. And you're like, all right.
Yeah, the fishermen.
Cool. But then it eats whales, pilot whales. Mm. Pilot whales, I'm fucking
known
sure.
Known for being booze, like just booze fiends, man. they love it.
Oh,
they're
like,
seriously
it.
Addicted.
Yeah.
It's actually problematic at this point.
Yeah,
they're destroying their families.
Please donate to the Alcoholic Pilot Whale Fund.
That's the Mike Skinraction new charity.
Why would you switch from? Why would you go human whale human again?
Because
the whales surely have more sustenance.
Yeah, it might just be going after mammals, and humans are what's to hand. But
so is it? And that was my question too. Is it more aquatic or more?
I would think a creature like that, if it regenerates in water, wouldn't want to ever leave water.
Yeah, so then why would it ever go on land? Because there surely are a hell of a lot more creatures in the sea.
Oh, yeah. Probably harder to catch, I'd imagine.
I'm just questioning this entire movie now. Yeah. I feel like maybe he should have gone with, like, big-ass mosquitoes.
See?
Like in fucking Jumanji.
That's exactly what I was
thinking.
That's
terrifying,
of.
You know?
Mm.
Breaking glass with their fucking spindle noses.
That's what I was thinking, because last night after we saw this, I was looking up, like, you know, things like where did the idea for this movie come from? And the idea of drink or die is what's, like, the most pressing thing. Like, you drink booze or you're a dead man. So I was wondering, like, how else could you apply that concept? Like, what other movie could you do the idea? Could you apply the idea of drink or you're dead to?
Did you have any thoughts?
Well, I was thinking like I was thinking monster movies. Like, how could you do this without just alien tentacle monster? Like, you could make a zombie apocalypse where alcohol is the cure to the zombie apocalypse.
Well,
and we gotta drink.
I guess it might run a similar vein as Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
Like, the reason why the stoner kid wasn't affected or stupider. Because of the gases is because it was canceled out by his fucking weed.
Yeah.
So it's got to, I feel like something maybe along the lines of that. Like, it's got to cancel out something that's ingested or inhaled, maybe.
I just had the idea of The Mist, like the Stephen King novel, and movie The Mist. But instead you just set it in a bar.
Yeah.
And the monsters are repelled by drinking booze.
It's got to be, because a lot of, you know what though? Sorry, my mind flipped back to when you were saying how much alcohol is actually in a human's blood.
Yeah.
And it just goes back to, I think animals are a little more susceptible to it because you are not supposed to give a dog beer. Doesn't stop my uncle, but you're not supposed to do it.
Here you go.
Theo Chayo, if you're listening, you need to stop.
Here you go, Fluffy. Have some grappa.
Yeah, it's just a social drink, and I'm here barbecuing. You're here watching me. Let's bond.
It's like a father-son drink, but shared between you and your dog.
Basically. But anyway, you're not supposed to give the animal beer. But maybe even if they fed the big grabber the doctor.
Yeah.
I don't think it would have died because of how big it was.
Mm.
I think it definitely affected the little one.
Even pouring the poaching in its mouth, like, that didn't kill it.
No, it just made it a little sick.
Yeah, it was them having to, like, explode it. Yeah.
Yeah. And even then, that doesn't guarantee that it's dead because it's basically an indestructible creature. And also,
describe it as being indestructible? Because I know, like, because a smaller one, they just beat the shit out of a lot.
They curb stomped it a lot,
but they didn't ever, like, immolate it.
But it could be, like, we don't. That's the thing, though. We don't know anything about this creature. The doctor was trying to.
That's exactly it. He's saying
the character that could have. Yeah, the character that could have figured out whether or not it was indestructible got flicked away. Like a fucking ragdoll.
Get shit on competition.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Pushed out of frame.
I like this lady. You don't like this lady. Push out of frame. And then the thing is, she's like, I was attracted to you. I'm like, no way in hell.
I have feelings for you the whole time.
You've known him less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
Or about 24 hours.
I didn't get that impression from any of the rest
of it. Nah, she was used as a romantic plot device. Screenwriters, please don't do this to women.
I was kind of hoping it would, like...
explode in his face?
No, just subvert my expectation and just go around the opposite direction. She'd be like, yeah, no, I'm not.
I feel like we'll be better friends, and that's okay. It's okay to be friends. Yeah.
Like, hey, 3 weeks from now, I'm going to go, and I'm going to be back to my old life. But, you know, that's cool. You want to, like, be pen pals or something? That's fine.
Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Through a traumatic experience
like,
together.
I think you can live here. Here, I'm going to toss my flask away to show you I'm not going to drink anymore. That is not how alcoholism works.
Fuck it. It was empty anyway.
Yeah, that is not how alcoholism works. Okay. There was just a lot of... It was just very blasé, I felt. It was very surface level for a lot of different things. And it was... Look, go in with low expectations because you won't be disappointed. But if you go in expecting something pretty, like Shaun of the Dead, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what I went with. I was like, this seems like it'd be fun. This seems like it'd be really great. And there were funny moments in it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Nice moments.
There was a lot of good Irish humor in it. That being said, could have been better.
Mm. Like, I don't want to dwell on the negatives because I do want to say my favorite scene in this movie is when they're having like that moment of that bit of discovery of like, oh, alcohol in your blood is the bane to these creatures. When they're in like the marine ecologist's lab, like trying to set it on fire, and then the sprinklers go off.
Oh my god!
And I love that scene so much because it's just like this mess where it springs back to life because all the sprinklers have gone off. Jumps onto alcoholic cop's face, and he's like flopping all over the building, turning over everything. They pull it off him, and then there's like this full minute of screen time where they're all curb stomping it.
And it was through the perspective of the creature.
So the camera's shuddering. They're all looking down, like angrily smashing this creature to death.
And then they stop for
it's
a minute,
like,
and it kind of moves. Yeah,
and
it was.
They go back to smashing it up.
And like everyone participated in it,
yeah,
not just the
cops. It's a group
but,
activity yeah. where they're like, you've got two police officers, a marine ecologist, and the town drunk beating the shit out of an alien on the floor.
It was pretty good.
Like, go humanity. Nothing
else
tells me more than that. It's
yeah,
like,
I think that
yes.
was my favorite bit too. Definitely my favorite bit. There was just so much potential, though. Like, of course, there were, like, little subtle humorous things, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I like subtle humor.
Oh, yeah.
It's just looking back on it, it's like, I really wanted it to be good.
Going into this, I really wanted it to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, it fell in that, like, really awful gray area.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't amazing, and it wasn't so bad that it's great. It was just kind of like mediocre, unfortunately.
It was, which is a shame.
It didn't swing too well one way or the other.
Yeah, it was a shame because the acting was marvelous.
Yeah,
the actors were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The actors acting. And the production was fantastic.
Yeah, it looked pretty.
It was great.
Looked good, sounded good.
Yeah, one of my favorite scenes actually was the scene in the bar when everyone was just like, oh, feck. There's creatures after us and killing us. Why didn't you just make this clear? And he's like, we didn't want you guys to panic, but you guys are safe. You're drunk. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, we're panicking right now.
Yeah, seems legit. But my favorite part was in the bar, the little creatures are kind of like they're little tiny squishy babies, and they're kind of cute.
Gross. They're weird tentacle monsters.
They were little tentacle monsters, but they look like little Pokemon. They're cute. It's like,
Grabber, I choose you.
But anyways, I really like.
I half expect that to be the nickname for someone's Mr. Mime. Christ.
Yes.
She's giving me the most serious look right now.
I agree. But anyways, my favorite bit was when the little guys were in the bar, and you can see they're obviously animated, but they're fiddling around with stuff and bottles are falling. Mm. And I can't remember what it's called. The practical it's when
what,
you
practical
use
practical effects.
Yes, practical effects. That's the one. Mm. It was practical effects with animation because there's just bottles falling, things breaking, and you can see that the bottles weren't animated, but the creatures were.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know how that was done. Like, did they have strings set up across everywhere and said, all right, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, this is what's happening, go, and we'll slowly pan. It was like a continuous pan. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed that shot.
Yeah. That mixing practical and VFX is always a great way to go about things. Mm-hmm. That's it just, when they blend right, it's just so perfect.
And it was. That's the thing. The production was fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it was just the story fell a little short.
That, I think that's pretty much the only... it's a
downfall.
Big thing, but it's the one thing that's keeping this movie back is it needed a bit more work on the writing and the direction a little bit.
It just needed not to be so predictable.
Yeah.
And it was very predictable, especially with like the romantic thing. Like, it would have been much better if they had done something more like Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, if it was more building a friendship rather than a relationship.
Yeah.
Because that guy wasn't ready for a relationship, and this girl, there is no way, as a woman, I can say there is no way that woman would have been with that man.
Nah.
Unless her self-esteem was so low. Oh, you know what? Her self-esteem was pretty low.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
He's like the one guy left alive who's like not 65.
Yeah.
On this
just
island.
Like, oh my gosh. It's just like that that movie with David Tennant and Kelly MacDonald. It's pretty much like... she lives on this island and there are no more eligible men on this island. And she's one of the youngest girls and she's not married. So she comes back to this island and they're like, all the men are gone. You need a husband. And she's like, feck men.
God damn it.
Yeah. And then it's a really good movie. Let me just find out what that movie title is because I will recommend that to you guys if you like cute little rom-coms that are actually quality. I thought it was very quality and a very diverse.
And saying no to more David Tennant. Love that
guy. I love David Tennant. So it's really funny, though, because it's set in Scotland. Yeah?
Okay.
But David Tennant is playing an Englishman.
Okay.
Yeah, which is great because I got some Doctor Who vibes. It was awesome. Loved it. Let me see. Decoy Bride.
Decoy Bride.
So it's called Decoy Bride because David Tennant's character is set to marry an A-list actress from America, right?
Oh.
And... so they want to have a private wedding, but somehow the paparazzi find them. And so the bride runs away. She runs away, but her PR agent is just like, we're going to go ahead with the wedding. We need a woman. And she was the youngest available woman. And so she was the decoy bride and they got married. The catch is that she actually signed her real name on the wedding certificate. And so did he. So they're actually married now.
Okay.
So there you go. Huh. Come for grabbers, go watch Decoy Bride.
See, that's what Max Camera Action is all about, giving you some movie recommendations.
Yeah, I have a
picking
library.
Picking out the diamonds in the rough.
Library of movies right here.
I think this is a good time for us to finish the show and talk about what we're doing next week. So next week, I think Alex should be back, hopefully, if the PAX season is over.
Yeah, maybe we should get him to watch Decoy Bride with us.
Next week is episode 20, and it'll be the first episode that's not going to be going with some running theme because we've just finished. We just had Sharktember.
Spooktober
is coming to an end with Grabbers. Next week it'll be. He wanted me to call it No Theme Vember, but I refuse. It's just November. There's no theme. There's nothing. Even there is
there
no
theme.
No,
come on.
Not for November. We're going back we're going back to our old format. We're going to get some guests back on the show.
That's good.
And you know, go back with just like anything that strikes our fancy, just movies we think people should watch.
Cool.
So next week we're going to be taking a look at Kick-Ass.
Happy Halloween, everybody! I know it's not an Australian thing, but it's fun. Get on it.
Happy haunts.